Welcome to Happy Hour, everybody. He's Adam Herhock. I'm Sean Camwell, your local alternative solid state radio. Glad to have you on board here on a Monday afternoon.
Man, you got a nice soothing Ron Radio golden voice going on over there.
That's all I can do right now, dude. I mean, you know what my weekends consisted of.
Yes, I do. Drinking this, drinking that, playing this, playing that.
Not as much drinking as you would think. A lot of working, though.
Yeah. Well, you put in some time. The old big benefit that they had going on.
Oh, yeah. Worked to hit, did the, played the Hit Chappelle Saturday night, and then for Sunday for Christmas for kids, that's always a blast of a show. I even tell you, they actually had me doing some of the auctioning at the end.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Greg gave up the mic for a good, like, 10 minutes or so.
He was hitting around to me about it. I'm like, I don't know.
You'd probably have done a better job at it than I did. Like,
I think I would have done a fine job, but just, I don't know. I just,
like, I could have probably done a lot better with it had I had, like, a spotter downstairs to tell me we were getting bids and things.
Yeah, and they used to do that for years.
Yeah, like, that would have been really helpful, like, because usually they have another person, in years past, they have another person with a mic down there, because, like, you can't see at the post when you're on the top level where all stuff's going on. You can't really see very well what's going on the main level where the bar is.
And right.
I already don't have the greatest eyesight when I'm sober, and after I've had a couple pops, that doesn't get any better.
Well, I mean, you couldn't have been worse than some of the auctioneers that they've had there, the ones who just go on a total power trip. There was this one guy, and I think a lot of our listeners, maybe if you ever go to auctions, you might know this kind of guy, where if you raise your hand at all to wave high, or just to stretch, oh, that's a bid. No, that's a bid. Just completely, you know, going on a big old power trip. Even when they had, like, the paddles. You know, they're like, no, you got to, don't be raising your hand. We're going to think that's a bid. It's like, it's a social atmosphere. We're going to say hello. We're going to wave to each other. You just got to deal with it.
It's a bar. Come on.
Right?
Like, you can't be that guy, even on a day like that. It's just, it's a bit much.
Yep. So I heard a lot of the auctions that were going on. So I was like, they raised a lot of money. I kind of took off. I was just like, I had like a bit busy day on Saturday. Joey got to meet Santa. That was a lot of fun.
Right on.
And then I was just like, I think these guys have got this. I'm out of here.
Yeah, it did go pretty well. Yeah, you missed my debut with the mic, but other than that, yeah, it was a fun time, and hopefully we'll be back at it again next December. I always say it's my favorite event that I play all year, and it's one of the most fun days I get to have doing anything, music, anything else all year long.
I've always liked that, and there was a lot of different events like that going on there. They had the Rock for Tots going on in Detroit. You had the Whaley's Children's Jam in Flint. It's just not, if you're a musician, it's an opportunity for you to hang out with other musicians, people that you can't really see all the time because you're playing your gig while they're playing theirs. It was just always kind of like a nice way to kind of all mingle with. It was almost like a trade part, like a Christmas party for everybody at work, you know?
Kind of a little bit. Like that part of it is always really cool to get to, you know, see some of these guys that, you know, you play shows year-round and don't get to see a lot of other bands. And this, you usually get a fair number of bands all in one place. I mean, this year is a little smaller scale than in years past. There's only three bands, and I've seen, not only have I seen both of the other bands on the bill, but I've played with both other bands on the bill. I have done gigs with both other bands on the bill, which was a little different for me, but I'm like, well, the one band, Whiskey Brothers, I mean, they do it every year. Like, that's just, it's not Christmas for kids until they play a set.
That's right.
And then with the Twisted Lemons, like, well, we're already pulling their lead singer up to play drums for my band. Like, let's just get your boys on the bill, too.
Yep, might as well.
Worked out pretty well. Everyone was happy. All parties involved were satisfied by this, seemingly.
Good. Good, good, good.
The kids made some money and got toys and things, and that's what's really important here.
Absolutely.
A lot of stuff to get to today. Stick around. It is Happy Hour, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Blue Stones at Solid State Radio, your home for 10 technical effing difficulties in a row. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Herhock. I'm Sean Cantwell. Good Lord, I swear to God. I'll be so glad when next year we actually finally start getting some upgrades on the tech side of things, because my God, this the station computer system, otherwise known as the co-owner of the station's last actual contribution to this operation, just is it's I swear it's on its last legs, man.
Yeah.
If things have sounded a bit askew during the morning and midday shift today, we apologize, but this is the fun of the technology we run, man.
We're doing this from Northern Command.
And right.
Do it remotely. And apparently, downtown Lapeer lost power again.
Yeah.
How often does downtown Lapeer lose power on average a month?
Every time, like, a mosquito flaps its wings, basically.
I mean, it is a lot.
It seems like it's more than most places I've been.
Well, I distinctly remember because one time the studio, everything went out, power went out, and lightning like hit a power line or something like that, and it came through our headphones. Remember that? That was
I do. What were we were dissing somebody or making fun of something? Or like, well, okay, we're never doing that again.
Yeah, we should have wrote that down because we have since forgot.
Yeah, so which means it's probably going to happen again at some point. If only we'd have been on our game a little bit more.
I'm glad that everything kind of lost power for a second there, because I know I said the F word like really loud.
As you do.
As anybody would. With a big loud pop in your ear and you're just worried about dying.
Yeah, that was not pleasant by any means.
Yep, I remember going into the studio on a Saturday night. The power was out again.
Right.
And I didn't know if the power would come on and I'd get a chance to do sessions. So I went in there and just kind of hung out. Well, Tim from Plastic Planet, the toy store over the vintage toy store that is in the Lyric Mall.
Yeah.
Didn't bother telling anybody that he had a life-size critter from the movie Critters.
Well, and where'd be the fun in telling you?
I shined my flashlight on there, and I screamed like a little girl. I really, truly did.
I don't think anyone could really blame
you. This thing is lifelike. I'm like, oh, hell no. I have to deal with the haunted elevator every Saturday night. I'm not putting up with this.
I'm getting out of here.
He said, thanks, Tim. Thanks for letting us know about that.
Seemed like that might be something that might be of some use to know.
He thought it was funny.
Oh, I'm sure he did, bastard.
Yep.
I mean, it would be kind of, I mean, to me, it's kind of hilarious, too, because it didn't happen to me. But
well, last November of 2022, I was out on an anniversary dinner with my wife and Drew, and I think Schwabo was there, and they had a whole studio full of people. Power went out. They were just using their phones as, like, mood lighting, and they had a great time. I kind of was jealous. That would have been a great time.
This sounds a lot more fun than what I actually did.
No. I don't need your help getting in trouble.
No, you really don't. And really, pretty much any level. Here's Noah Kahn and Dial Drunk at Solid State Radio. Allison James at your local alternative Solid State Radio. So Michigan, of course, had their championship, Big Ten championship game over the weekend, and it went about how you would expect. Honestly, I think they should have scored more, but against I get Iowa has an elite defense, but I mean, how are you even letting their offense hold the ball for more than about 5 seconds? But that being said, the rankings are out.
Yeah.
Michigan is currently the number one team in the land since Bama went and took care of business for you against Georgia on Saturday.
They really did. That's got to be the only reason why they're still in the conversation, right? How upset would you be if you're a Seminoles fan? They go 12-0 or 13-0, and they're not in the dance.
And they lose out to a Texas team that has a loss on the year.
Right. I mean, and I get it. I get it. Nobody's going to want to hear what I have to say on it because I've got my tinfoil hat on, but they want those numbers. They want to have Bama in there. They want to have Texas in there. Florida State, apparently you're just not as much of a good TV ratings cow as Bama and Texas.
I don't think that's necessary. I mean, there's probably some discussion, but, like, there wasn't, apparently it was felt there wasn't serious consideration to include Alabama without Texas because of the Longhorns' week 2 win in Tuscaloosa, but there wasn't enough support in the room to deem Georgia unequivocally one of the best 4 teams in the country.
Right.
But, I mean, literally, 13-0. Like, what do you have to do here?
Right.
An undefeated Power 5 conference champion has never been excluded from the college football playoff.
And did you see they had Michigan's reaction to pulling Alabama as a dance partner?
You're going to get crushed.
Yeah. It was kind of laughable. It was kind of like, oh, I mean, a lot of people, a couple people cheering, and most people were like, yeah, from U of M, it's like, oh, here we go.
I mean, it's not a matchup that favors you very well. No. That's for sure.
No, here's Nick Saban and Crimson Tide. They've been there before. They know what's going on. I mean, Michigan, as good as they are, they're still green around the gills when it goes to a natty.
A little bit. I know they're throwing a lot here about the injured quarterback, but I mean, for Florida State, but he actually said, quote, he said he wished he'd broken his leg earlier in the season so the committee could have seen the team was still great without him.
Right.
And they're so convinced that, like, this is unprecedented as far as the college football playoff goes.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to argue that Texas had a much greater strength of schedule than, say, Florida State did, but also you can't help the conference that you play in. Like, are they getting punished for being...
Well, I don't know.
An FCC team? I mean, Clemson never had an issue with that.
Yeah, they played Clemson. Talking about Florida State, they played Clemson this year.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, their state rivals. Miami, University of Miami. I mean, they had a pretty decent schedule. I mean, of course, they had the cupcake games. North Alabama. Louisville. But, I mean, I think every team in the top four, especially Michigan, had those cupcake games.
Well, yeah, every team in any conference is gonna have. I mean, Michigan's certainly notorious for that. They didn't play. They played but one real game this year, and that was against Ohio State.
Right.
Like, they haven't really taken on any challengers that are of any note, really.
No.
It's something that's going to infuriate a lot of people. I feel like going forward, it's a good thing you're expanding to 12 teams next season, because, of course, you just couldn't leave the four-team format behind without a little bit of drama leaving it, could you? Or controversy, really.
I mean, does the media have any access to the selection committee? So they can ask them, why was this a thing? Was the hurt quarterback for the Seminoles, strength of schedule was, I mean, Bama did knock off number one Georgia, so they do have that going for them.
Yeah, you knock off the number one team in the land, and that's usually how that works. And yes, to answer your question, like, there's 13 people who are on this committee. ESPN interviewed a bunch of them, and they offered up various justifications for Florida State being the first team out. For whatever it might be worth. But ultimately it comes down to, they say, strength of schedule. And the section that, and this is the part I find the most BS, the section that allowed committee members to project what Florida State might look like in a semifinal without their star quarterback.
They really shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah, that I don't like. I mean, like, how are we determining that this is what the team's going to look like in an actual championship game? Like, that doesn't... That seems so against the spirit of everything here.
It really does.
Be like, you know, if you make the playoffs in, say, you're San Francisco from a couple years back, you make the playoffs, and they say, oh, you know, actually, you're not going to make the playoffs because every quarterback you have got injured. And we don't know about this Brock Purdy guy, like, who says you're going to be a good team now.
Right.
And we don't even get to watch them go on the run that they did.
Exactly. Like, exactly. You're missing a chance to have those Cinderella storylines. They got there. The quarterback is just one player on that team. They should have been given a look.
I agree. I mean, you're saying here that if Florida State can't possibly compete without the QB that's been with them all year, but yet you expect Michigan with their starting QB to have any kind of competent showing against Bama? I don't.
They want Bama in there. They will find a way. If they could have found a way to get Clemson in there, you know they would have.
In years past, I might have thought that. Clemson's no longer
the...
They
kind of lost the favor. It was a bit more like Georgia then, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, everyone kind of, like, started to see through the mirage that is Clemson and the ACC and everything else. Like, right. They kind of became not, like, the football power. It also didn't help that every chance he got, Dabo was on TV whining about the transfer portal, so... and NIL deals and everything else. Not doing themselves any favors in that department. Not a fan of the call, though. Like, if you're a Power 5 team that goes undefeated, you better have a damn good reason to not be included in the college football playoff. And I don't think we got it. I don't think, as fans, we got that sufficient explanation for that. Good thing there's going to be 12 teams in the playoff next year. We're not going to have to deal with this mess again.
Yep.
Until all of a sudden we're arguing about who the 13th team that got left out is. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Primus at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk as he's sitting back enjoying a New Holland Dragon Smoke, which, yes, you can get in the state of Michigan, as it turns out, Adam.
I'm sorry if I don't know where every beer is made.
We've had Dragon's Milk in studio how many damn times?
Yes, we have. We've also had Heineken in studio. Is that in Michigan, Sean?
Yeah, but you also know that it's not in Michigan. You just inherently know this.
Anyway, yeah, I raided your beer fridge. I got the Dragon's Milk Reserve Mocha Mint. And, yeah, wow, I love...
Good stuff, is it not?
Stouts with the coffee flavor and the mint. Oh, that's really good stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
So you had something you wanted to bring up that was rather important to you today. And I will...
Kiss played their last show, supposedly. A lot of people are still like, oh, they're going to keep playing.
They probably will.
Well, you're kind of right.
When you do a farewell tour so many times, multiple farewell tours, people are going to start to kind of be skeptical about whether it's really.
All right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of bands who have done that. Motley Crue had their big old bye-bye tour, and then they came back.
How many rounds of No More tours did Ozzy have?
One that I know of. But Kiss, they did the farewell tour in 2000 because they were like, yeah, we got back together with Ace and Peter back in 96. You know what we found out? Ace and Peter are still kind of, I can't say the word I want to say, but, they just couldn't deal with them anymore. So that it was supposed to be farewell. Then they're like, why? We've done Kiss with other members before. Eric Singer is a very good drummer. Tommy Thayer is a great guitar player. And I think they looked like they were having more fun with those guys. They were doing cruises. They were doing all kinds of promotional opportunities, and it was a lot of fun. But, they're 70, in their 70s. I mean, they're getting up there.
They're not young men by any means.
They are
anymore.
Not. You can kind of go back and watch, stuff from the 70s or even, like, stuff from the 90s. I mean, they're running all over the place. And then comes, the 2020s, and, Paul has had, surgery on both meniscus. Is that what I'm saying? Meniscus. Tendons in his legs. He's had that taken care of. They have knee surgeries. They're getting up there. It's not happening anymore. So they played their last show this past Saturday at the Madison Square Garden. And so many people were there. And they were expecting, they're going to bring out Ace and Peter. And they said, no, we're not doing that. They were like, are you doing anything special? No, we're not. And everybody's like, oh, no, they'll do something special. And then they didn't. It was the same show that you've been seeing for 5 or 6 years. It wasn't like, all right, well, this is the last one. We're all going to hug each other and we're all, we'll pop champagne right here on the stage. And no, it was just like, good night, everybody. But it was supposed to be good night. But then they stopped and they're like, this is end of what? I can't do the Paul Stanley like you do, so I'll just paraphrase.
And I can't do it today either.
You can't do it. Paul Stanley is not in today. Okay, I get it. You probably do a killer Patrick Warburton today. But no, so they're on the stage, and this stage is just filling up with smoke. We'd like to welcome the new era of Kiss. And then it's like they just get enveloped by smoke. Now, apparently the new era of Kiss, he says in air quotes, is Kiss avatars, where apparently you're going to go to a show and see like holograms of the band performing the hits.
That sounds like the lamest thing ever.
Everyone's like, oh, well, ABBA did it. It's like,
did they?
I guess they did.
But I mean, who's... I also have no interest in going and seeing ABBA in real life, much less an Avatar film.
I would love to see ABBA, the actual band, not, you know... I mean, I could... When they had Tupac at Coachella as a hologram, that makes sense. The guy's dead. You can't see him anymore. You know?
Yeah.
And so now, here is a band that... A lot of people have been critiquing live music acts for not being live, having pre-recorded stuff and doing this. Now, they actually want us to plunk down money for a ticket to hear pre-recorded music and a pre-filmed band. Are they out of their minds?
Yes.
I mean, even ABBA. I mean, ABBA, you couldn't get a chance to see them for like... They stopped touring in 79, 1980, something like that. So there's at least an argument there. But Kiss... You just saw them. And then next year, they're going to come out with the New Era Tour, where the band Kiss will not be in the building. It's just going to be a road crew putting up the holograms, or I don't even know how they're going to do it, but it is, they showed the band, like almost cartoonish kind of thing, and Gene's got these big old wings, and he's flying. Right. And I'm thinking, as much as people have complained about pre-recorded this and pre-recorded that, the band is, all these bands are now leaning into it, saying, you know what? Not only is it pre-recorded, we'll be pre-recorded too. We won't even be there. Make sure you go to Live Nation and pick up a ticket, won't you? Have they lost their minds?
Oh, they lost their minds years ago.
I think this is going to go the way of New Coke. I think people are, they'll try it. And I got to be honest, I'm kind of curious. But if I didn't plunk down that kind of money to see the band and actually be in the room with the people that created this music, I'm not going to plunk down the same amount of money to watch a movie of the band. And that's what it is. Yeah, will it be, you know, from a standpoint, technological standpoint, interesting? Yeah, it is. But they're completely giving the middle finger to the concert-buying public. The whole idea is being... in a room, having a moment with the band, they're performing the music. I mean, we've both been on stages many times. We've seen many bands.
Oh yes,
there is that moment. You're stripping that away to watch a hologram. If they think I'm going to go do that and plunk down $15 for a beer, they have lost their ever loving mind.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't. I for the life of me, wouldn't understand why anyone else would want to see this either.
I mean, how soon until we see, or were they planning on doing that with Elvis?
I'm sure they were, but you know, they may have wanted to do like hologram Elvis, but you know, the hologram of Colonel Tom Parker would never sign off on it.
That's good. Exactly. I mean, you have those moments like at Queen show, you know, Adam Lambert's playing, but then you know, like, there's moments where they have the screen of Freddie Mercury singing a song, one song, and then that's it. And then they go back to live music. Now they want us to watch fake performers listen to pre-recorded music.
You've already got your tickets, don't you?
No, I don't. I mean, depending on the price, I might go just to check it out, but I've seen Kiss. I've been front row. I've seen Kiss with three different drummers, a couple different guitar players. I've seen it, you know, and then be like to say, hey, we want you, the Kiss Army, to come down, plunk down the same kind of money to come see this show. I'm thinking, if you're not going to be there, why do you want me there? That's an insult.
Yeah, I just don't see the point of it, quite honestly. I mean, I know what the point of it is, because, you know, Kiss likes money, but...
Well, what performer doesn't like money?
But I mean, it's this seems... Yeah, okay. Even by...
Oh, Kiss has just never been afraid of telling you they like money. Everybody else does, too. I mean, even like Pearl Jam, when they were fighting Ticketmaster and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Their T-shirts were just as expensive as Kiss. All their merchandise was. They weren't giving their albums away for free.
No, certainly not.
No.
Kiss has just always leaned into it.
Yeah, but of course, Pearl Jam never had, you know, Pearl Jam condoms or Pearl Jam caskets.
Yeah, no, that. We're all rather thankful for that.
Yeah. Kiss, they got you coming and going.
They really, truly do. Here's Casey Elfin at South Sea Radio. There's whole damn mess at your local alternative, South Sea Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. We at least have to talk a little bit about the Lions today because they did play yesterday. And
yes, they did.
And they won. It was a little closer of a game than I would have liked, but they did win.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the games are getting closer. A little bit of a biting of the nails, especially considering that first quarter, they were up 21-0.
Yeah.
And then they let the Saints get back in there.
Which, God, I wish they would not have done, but yet here we are. Jared Goff looked a lot better than he had the last couple weeks. Like, he missed some throws early on, but then made some big-time plays when he absolutely needed to and got a little bit better about, you know, managing the pocket when things started breaking down. And that the play that ultimately clinched the game against the Saints, an absolute beauty to Josh Reynolds, like that last like minute 50 in the game, and he manages to run through trouble, get the throw off to Reynolds, get the first down, and basically end the thing. It was a play that I feel like Goff, even a couple weeks ago, probably doesn't make.
Goff is just one of those guys. I know it's a cliche when you're talking about a decent quarterback, but he is cool under pressure.
Yeah, but the thing is, last couple of weeks, he really hadn't been. And that was kind of the issue, really, was that he under pressure, he kind of like had choked a little bit. And this is the Saints defense that will capitalize when you start making mistakes. They're very opportunistic, and Goff didn't give him a whole lot to play with, thankfully. Wasn't David Montgomery's greatest day, but what with the rather critical drop that he had, but he also didn't really seem to see the field as well as he normally does. But thankfully, Jahmyr Gibbs kind of bailed you out there. Neither one of those guys being involved in the receiving game was kind of unfortunate to see, though, because that had been kind of a key thing in weeks past, particularly with Gibbs. And you'd like to see more of that ultimately, but you just really didn't end up getting it. But Sam Laporta, what a day. Rookie tight end franchise record, 140 yards on the day.
Nice.
Caught all 9 of the passes that were thrown his way. Like, he's basically become Jared Goff's, like, safety valve here. And I'm entirely good with this. Your receivers were fantastic for the most part. Granted, J-Mo, Josh Reynolds, and Amon-Ra St. Brown combined for 4 catches and 72 yards, but everyone made a big play in that game. Even your defense. Your defense didn't even look bad. The run defense was stout again. Bruce Irvin had a couple really nice plays in yesterday's game. He got a sack on the afternoon. Nearly everyone on that D-line got a hit on the day. Hutch got at least one. Benito Jones, Irvin, Kaminsky, Harris. Aquara also got a sack on the afternoon. And it was really nice to see. With Alex Anzalone being out, you kind of had a bit of a concern with the linebacker core. But Jalen Reeves-Maven, who is normally these days a special teams guy, he ended up getting into the mix of linebacker and really made Campbell look rather smart for having done that. He gets 2 tackles, a quarterback hit, and a pass defended on the day. The secondary wasn't good. Secondary's pretty much not been good all year. Jerry Jacobs has been struggling. And after going just 1 for 5 for 6 yards and an interception in the first quarter, Derek Carr finished a lot stronger from there. He only had 1 incompletion the rest of the way. Didn't throw a single incomplete pass in the second half. So you kind of got lucky to an extent that he ends up out with an injury. So, are there still questions? Oh, absolutely. Are there still things that you would really rather not see from this team? Oh, without a doubt. But by and large, they look a lot better than they did against Green Bay. I think you could certainly argue better than what was kind of a sloppy win against Chicago. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's a step in the right direction. Granted, against the New Orleans team that we've talked about, they're not good. They have a chance to still win the NFC South, but that's only because the NFC South is the trashiest trash division that ever trashed.
So that's a lot of trash.
It is indeed a lot of trash. And I know that they're not a team that we take particularly seriously, just because like no one in that division really deserves it, quite frankly. But it's still nice to see them actually rebounding, particularly on the defensive side of things, like I said, with the exception of the secondary, and having it a little bit more together than they did last week. Now, let's see if we can keep that momentum going forward. You're now off to your best start since 1962.
Woo!
Which is crazy to think about.
It is.
But it's the reality, and all of a sudden, you look like something we haven't seen in this town in, well, apparently 61 years, give or take.
Well, I mean, okay, if we choose to be pessimistic, let's go ahead and do that. I'm not saying that's what we're doing, but they got five games left. Let's say they just lose the next five. I think Lions fans will have tasted enough victory and, you know, they'll see enough progress in this team that I think there's going to be more Lions fans. The young Lions fans are going to be there. It's going to be more of a Lions country.
Nah.
I think so, because I mean, it's going
to, if they drop their last five, dude, it's going to go immediately back to SOL, SOL. Because you literally came within a game last year,
right,
of making the playoffs. If you play yourself out of the playoffs this year, and there's a good chance that that's what happens if you drop your next five, then no, the fans are not going to forgive that. All the progress you've made in the last year and a half is basically for naught at that point. That you're going to have people who are like, okay, we're not getting fooled by this team again.
I'm just saying that they've looked good. They look like there's something they can build upon for it. So if they do drop the next five, I think there's going to be some cautious optimism in there for the next couple of seasons.
You don't hang around too many Lions fans, do you?
All right, I'm done.
But no, man, come on. You know damn well as I do. If you drop the next five games, that's going to set...
Maybe I'm on my own little island. I'm just on Adam Land. I just know that I've enjoyed seeing what progress this team has had. Much better coach, a solid QB, St. Brown doing... to the point where I'm learning their names. And I've been a hockey guy. So if I'm in there, that's got to say something for this squad. And so if they drop, you know, three of the next five, I'm still going to be like... Well, you know what? It didn't happen, but you know what? I'm looking forward to next year. Let's keep this going. And with the team going in that kind of upper trajectory, next thing you know, you're going to have like more like maybe free agents are going to be more apt to come to Detroit.
I think for
the good free agents, I should say.
I think for any of that to be the case, you have to take the actual next step forward. Almost making the playoffs is no longer good enough. Like, you did that last year. You came within that game where on the last day you're waiting for the outcomes of other games to determine whether or not you're going to make it or not. Now you have to actually make the playoffs. I think, honestly, for a lot of people, the standard, you have to at least win a playoff game.
Right.
If you can't do those things, I think a lot of the people that have started paying attention have jumped on board this thing are going to jump right back off the next station.
You're probably right. You're 100% right.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that, and that they can take care of business down the stretch. I mean, looking at the schedule, Dallas is still the only team I'm overly concerned about. That's it. Like, you should win at least four. You should at least go 4-1 down the stretch. I don't think that's an impossible thing. I think that's entirely doable, and I think it's almost necessary, really, if you're really serious about being a playoff contender. Let's go ahead and hit a break here. We'll come back. We'll check the weather, and we'll do some hockey. It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. Solid State weather for tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 28. Tomorrow, you're looking at mostly cloudy skies with a high of 37 and a low of 22. Then for Wednesday, clouds and sun with a high of 38 and a low of 31. Currently, you're at 37 in Flint, 37 in the Tri-Cities, 35 in lovely downtown Lapeer, under partly cloudy skies. And as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Patrick Kane, he's not going to be available for tomorrow against the Sabres.
They're saying Thursday right now, right?
Yep, that's what it's looking like. They're saying he's had full practices to the point where old newsy Derek Lalonde says, Patrick Kane is fair game. Just go ahead and, full contact,
knock
practice and everything else. And apparently...
Take out that knee.
No. No, but, I mean, after watching the play, Fabry's out 3 months. No, but apparently Kane was behind the net, and Mo Sider rocked him. But everything's still good.
I mean, that's what you got to do, though. Like, yeah, if we're trying to get you back up to game speed, you're going to get hit game speed.
Yeah, Mo Sider is going to be – he's a fierce competitor. This is what's happening. Yeah, He wants you to succeed just as much, but he wants you to be So it's looking like he's going to be making his debut at home against the San Jose Sharks on the 7th. 7 o'clock puck drop. What is a realistic goal for Patrick Kane, in your ever humble opinion there, Sean?
Realistic expectation?
150 goals.
Anything less than that, he's a bum. Realistically, though, I feel like we're at about, by the time he comes back, it'll be about the time that we're how many games into this season now?
25. Let's say they got, that much left to go.
With that, then, you're pretty damn close, 23. I feel like, with that span, he should be good for, 15 goals, 25 assists.
That's fair. I think that's right around where I would think. My thing was, for 1 year, $2.5 million, something like that. It was a little less than $2.5 million. I know one of the reasons why Yzerman brought Patrick Kane in, it was to take number 88 away from Daniel Sprong.
That's the whole reason behind all this.
The entire reason. Daniel Sprong taking on number 17 and doing quite well with it.
You have the audacity to take that number? Well, screw you.
That was supposed to be Lindros's number. So, the whole idea is, I think Patrick Kane is what Sam Gagne and those guys were supposed to be. The veteran presence that is going to help this very young team. I mean, there's a lot of wet behind the ears players on the Red Wings. So now you bring in a 3-time Stanley Cup champion, a Hart Trophy winner, an Art Ross Trophy winner into your fold. It's got to help. I mean, apparently, from what I hear, Patrick Kane is a good guy in the room. He's a mentor. And so if he happens to put up 15, 25, like you were saying, perfect. Perfect.
I don't think anyone's going to complain about it.
No, you're getting a lot. Along with that, with the mentorship for that $2.5 million. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, that's money well spent.
Absolutely. And then, take a look at things, see about re-signing him. If he's going to, you can get that discount maybe, but Patrick Kane, if he can put up that many points, if he's putting up 40 points in the limited season that he's had, there's probably going to be other teams knocking on the door, and we're going to find out exactly how loyal he is to the Red Wings. Because he's like, oh, I always wanted to play for the Red Wings. No, you did not.
Yeah, do I really believe that for a second?
Come on.
That is not... We both know that's not
true. I mean, if
true.
He was to say, oh, I always wanted to play for the Buffalo Sabres. He's from Buffalo. I get it. But Detroit, I don't know. I mean, I don't sound like I'm bagging on my own team, but I mean... He's had a lot of rivalry with the Wings. He's not from the area. I don't buy the fact that, where they're saying, the Wings were his first choice. No, it was not.
We know damn well that's a lie.
Oh, no, because a lot of times people, he wants to go to a contender. Well, of course he does. But, Dallas.
Well, a player doesn't want to go to a contender.
Dallas and Florida probably weren't willing to pay him or guarantee him the ice time that he wanted. So he signed on with Yzerman and the Red Wings.
Yeah, I'm sure there was definitely some semblance of that. Although it does seem odd because there was this talk of him wanting a multi-year deal.
Yeah.
Which always seemed preposterous to me because given that it's a surgery that not many guys successfully come back from,
very few.
Right now, Backstrom's the only guy who's still playing who's come back from that, and he's done all right since he's returned, but
he wasn't what he used to be. But and nobody's expecting Patty Kane to be that way either. But no, it's a rough surgery.
It's a hard one to recover from. But the idea that he was going to get a multi-year deal, at least that's what was being rumored at the time, that always to me seemed like that was going to be a no-go from the jump. Like no team was actually going to offer him that was a contender, because contending teams don't make moves like that on, you know, question marks ultimately.
Right.
And as we saw with Yzerman, like if he would have signed him to a multi-year deal, I'm not gonna lie, probably would have scratched my head a bit. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, this is an audition, and hopefully,
as well it should be.
And hopefully it's an audition both ways, but hopefully he can pass that. And if he re-signs at a decent deal, that's fine. But I guess we're putting the horse in front of the cart. Let's see what happens. If the playoffs were to start today, the Wings would not be in a wild card spot. No, they would be legitimately in the talks.
Oh, you'll just love to see it.
Third in the Atlantic. Was it 1 or 2 points ahead of Toronto?
1 point behind. Yeah, 1 point ahead of Toronto, 1 point behind Florida.
Florida, didn't you get the memo that you were supposed to completely dissolve after losing in the finals?
Yeah, why didn't you do that? What's wrong with you?
Everybody else got the memo. Hi, Ottawa, talking to you.
Clearly.
Talking to the Wings after we lost in 09. I mean, come on, respect the process.
Exactly, we're not asking a lot here. here's the Kills in New York at Solid State Radio. Happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get the hell out of Dodge here on a Monday afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show that we like to call Solid State Sessions. I'll be well back at tomorrow afternoon at 3 with NFL overreactions and God only knows what else. I'll be in well. Talk to you then. See ya.